Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
signs of progress emerge on talks for the next round of stimulus.
President Trump considers unilateral action to stop evictions.
Coronavirus infections slow as the World Health Organization offers hope on the outbreak.
And the White House demands cash as part of any deal to sell TikTok.
COVID-19 forces New Jersey to cut back on indoor gatherings. Plus, Hurricane Isaias has made landfall in North Carolina as it heads toward New York City. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees beat the Phillies. The Mets won in Atlanta. The Rangers lost to Carolina and face elimination.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We're brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are lower after a record close for the NASDAQ 501 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 9 points this morning. Dow futures down 43. NASDAQ futures down 41. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.54%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% or 46 cents at $40.55 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4%. John.
And Karen, we begin on Capitol Hill, where negotiations on a stimulus package resume again today. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says there are signs of progress.
We are really getting an understanding of each side's position, and we're making some progress on certain issues, moving closer together.
Several issues remain, though, as evidenced by Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's take on the talks.
Speaker of the House and the Democratic leader are continuing to say our way or the highway.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is more optimistic in negotiations, saying both sides are moving a little bit closer to a deal.
If lawmakers do not reach an agreement, the fallout will certainly hit the U.S. economy. That's according to Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan, who spoke exclusively to Bloomberg.
It's still my view that in some form we'll get an extension of unemployment benefits. So I'm quite hopeful that that will continue. But if it didn't, you would see a further weakening in the economy.
And there's word the Senate may delay its recess in order to reach an agreement. Senator Richard Shelby says the chamber may stay in Washington next week if a deal is not reached by tomorrow.
Meantime, President Trump is considering action of his own, saying he may impose a moratorium on evictions.
I don't want people to be evicted. And, when they're evicted, when they're thrown out of their whatever the place may be, in many cases, they go to big shelters.
The White House is also exploring whether it can unilaterally extend $600 a week payments that expired last week. The president's also considering a move to enact a payroll tax holiday.
While Washington works to support the economy, we're seeing positive signs in the fight against coronavirus. Daily U.S. infections rose less than 1%, well below the one-week average. Maria Van Kerkhove is the World Health Organization's top epidemiologist on COVID-19.
The United States can turn this around, and we know that. We have seen this in many, many countries that have applied this comprehensive approach.
Arizona is seeing its numbers come down weeks after the governor closed bars and mandated masks. The state reported its fewest daily infections since June.
In California, Governor Gavin Newsom says he's seeing some positive trends. Here with more is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Governor Newsom says there are a couple of good signs in the fight. He says positivity is down, and so are hospitalizations.
The healthcare system capacity, with total number of patients declining, it's just shy of 9% of our total capacity. It's holding relatively steady, not increasing.
Interestingly, he says they are seeing a spread from backyard parties and living rooms. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, TikTok is front and center again today as Microsoft moves to buy the company's U.S. operations from ByteDance. President Trump is insisting any sale include a payment to the government.
the United States should get a very large percentage of that price, because we're making it possible. Without us, you know, I use the expression, it's like the landlord and the tenant. And without the lease, the tenant doesn't have the value. Well, we're sort of, in a certain way, the lease.
Such a move would be unprecedented, and now China's lashing out at the sale. We get details from Bloomberg's Jody Schneider in Hong Kong.
The Chinese government may not accept that acquisition of TikTok's U.S. operations and may take action against Washington if a sale is forced. We've heard that today from Beijing's backed China Daily in its editorial. And really, it's the strongest defense yet of ByteDance, which President Trump obviously has threatened to ban unless a deal is struck by September 15th to sell TikTok's U.S. business to Microsoft or another U.S. entity.
It's unclear if President Trump has the authority to force a payout from any deal. Microsoft says it wants to complete an acquisition no later than September 15th.
And Twitter under fire from the Federal Trade Commission, the agency investigating alleged piracy violations of the company, saying it used phone numbers to target people with advertising. That would be a violation of a 2011 consent decree where Twitter agreed to better protect personal data.
BP is out with earnings that beat estimates. The company reported a loss that was less than expected. Oil trading was a standout in the quarter. Still, BP is cutting its dividend for the first time in a decade and is setting new targets to accelerate the shift to green energy. Shares are up 7% in London.
And coming up today, we get results from Disney. The company's streaming push has been a success, and analysts will be watching for more data on Disney+. Geetha Ranganathan covers the company for Bloomberg Intelligence.
Just like we saw for Netflix, you know, the run-up too fast. So has demand kind of pulled forward from later in 2020, which means that subscription growth could eventually decelerate as those lockdowns kind of ease up.
Well, Disney reports after the closing bell. We'll bring you live results and analysis right here on Bloomberg Radio. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street this morning, futures in the red. The Dow futures right now down 21 points. The S&P futures, they are 6 points lower right now. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures down about 28 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much, sir. Two big stories in the tri-state area, the approaching storm and coronavirus news. New Jersey is experiencing the highest number of new COVID cases this month. It is leading the state to drop down the number of people allowed at indoor gatherings. Governor Phil Murphy.
Today we are retightening the restriction on indoor gatherings, which until further notice are now limited to 25% of a room's capacity, but with a maximum of 25 persons. That's down from 100.
Murphy says the majority of New Jersey residents are paying the price for a few bad actors. Governor Andrew Cuomo says 19 more bars in New York have lost their liquor licenses for COVID-related violations. Cuomo also slammed President Trump's U.S. response to the pandemic, calling it the worst government blunder in modern history.
Some people heard the president and believed him. And if you believed him, you wouldn't take COVID seriously. And if you didn't take COVID seriously, then you wouldn't take the precautions that people were saying you should take.
The governor also says a decision on reopening schools for in-person learning will be made this week. A group of parents, teachers, and students marched in Manhattan yesterday protesting Mayor Bill de Blasio's plan to reopen schools in the city. Demonstrators say they don't feel safe returning in person. As for Hurricane Isaias, Mayor de Blasio has a message for New Yorkers.
This is the kind of thing that comes on fast and people need to be ready.
Governor Cuomo also says New York City area residents should be prepared for heavy winds and rain. Isaias made landfall late last night near Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina, and is heading up the U.S. East Coast. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin has the latest.
Michael, a tropical storm warning remains in effect for the tri-state area. We're also under a flash flood watch until 6 a.m. Wednesday. We'll have periods of rain today, some of which will be heavy. There'll also be some thunderstorms moving through. They will have the best ability to produce wind gusts in excess of 40 miles an hour. Also, because of the turning nature of the wind today, a few of these could produce isolated weak tornadoes, so we're going to have to keep an eye out for that. The good news is the storm's moving very, very quickly, so we'll see improving weather across the tri-state area by the early evening hours. A much better day tomorrow. Michael?
Rob, thank you, sir. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up at 5:10 of Wall Street Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And good morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, John. Yankees and Mets both had their aces on the mound last night. It was Garrett Cole's first start in Yankee pinstripes. His first two were on the road. He went six innings before a rain delay of more than an hour. Yanks led the Phillies 6-1 when the rain came. The final was 6-3, and Cole was already 3-0 on the season. Aaron Judge did not homer. First time in six games, but the Yanks hit three more. DJ LeMahieu to lead off the game. Later, Brett Gardner and Gio Urshela. Yanks have hit 20 home runs in nine games, and they are 8-1. The Mets won 7-2 in Atlanta. They actually scored some runs for Jacob deGrom, so he got his first win, struck out 10 in six innings. Wilson Ramos and Robinson Cano both had two hits and three RBIs as the Mets end a five-game losing streak. The Miami Marlins scheduled to play tonight, their first game since the virus swept through their team. 16 players tested positive, so they've had to dip into their minor league system. Now it's the St. Louis Cardinals, whose players keep testing positive. Seven more yesterday, bringing the total to 13, plus six staffers. Cardinals series this week with Detroit was postponed. A rare Monday at noon playoff game for the Rangers. It did not go well.
Now here comes Sebastian Aho. He's got a break. In on Lundqvist. To Svechnikov. He scores! The hat trick for Andre Svechnikov. The first one in Canes organization history in the postseason. And the Canes go up 4-1.
And at the final, Canes radio. Carolina up 2-0 in the series. Hasn't trailed yet, and they can end the Rangers' season in Game 3 tonight. Deadline for NFL players to opt out Thursday. Odell Beckham, the ex-Giant now with Cleveland, says he's going to play, but he also feels the NFL should cancel the season. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace has reportedly been offered part ownership of a racing team. The Washington Post says Wallace was offered a stake in Richard Petty Motorsports, the team he currently drives for. Wallace is the sport's only African-American driver at the highest level of competition. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are edging lower in Europe alongside U.S. stock index futures, while bonds turned higher as investors wait for word on whether fresh fiscal stimulus will get approvals in the world's largest economy. U.S. stock index futures swung from gains to their modest declines hours after the Nasdaq set a fresh record yesterday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 6.5 points, Dow futures down 21, Nasdaq futures down 31, the DAX in Germany's down 0.2%, 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.54%. The yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2% on 50 cents at $40.51 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.80 at $19.92.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1797 against the dollar. British pound 1.3062. The yen 105.94. Watching this headline cross the Bloomberg, Adidas extending CEO Kasper Warstadt's contract by 5 years. And today we are watching for reports on factory orders and durable goods orders out of 10 o'clock Wall Street time. Walt Disney among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Hurricane Isaias has been downgraded to a tropical storm after making landfall near Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina. The hurricane hit last night with maximum sustained winds of 85 miles per hour. Authorities say the exhaust of a malfunctioning diesel vehicle sparked the first big Southern California wildfire of the year, which has forced thousands of people from their homes east of Los Angeles. Once again, President Trump criticized universal mail-in voting for the November election. During his daily pandemic briefing, the president says the U.S. Postal Service is not prepared to handle it. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won, along with the A's. The Giants lost. In the NBA, the Wizards lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's coming up on 5:20 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. TikTok is front and center again today. Microsoft is pushing to buy the company's U.S. operations. And now President Trump is weighing in, saying any sale should include a payment to the U.S. government. There's a lot to unpack here. Let's bring in Bloomberg International editor Jody Schneider, who joins us from our Hong Kong studios. Jody, good to talk to you. We know that Microsoft has been on the hunt for TikTok for some time. What would complicate Microsoft's potential deal with TikTok here?
Yeah, well, there's several potential hurdles, some of them pretty large to scale. One is that, and we just heard this in the past day, the Beijing-backed China Daily said that the Chinese government won't accept an acquisition of TikTok's U.S. operations by Microsoft and may take action against Washington if a sale were to be forced. So there's obviously the Chinese opposition there. Now, that doesn't mean everything, but obviously that could be make it much more difficult. Secondly, President Trump over the weekend, after saying that he was going to ban TikTok in the U.S., said he would look at a September 15th deadline for Microsoft to buy it. Of course, that's a lot to do. It's a tough deal to strike in a month and a half. And it wouldn't only be Microsoft is not only looking at the U.S. TikTok business, but that in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand as well. So that's a pretty tough deal to do in that short a time.
And the president wants to extract a payment from the Chinese for the sale, if a sale goes through. Explain that to me.
Yeah, so President Trump repeatedly insisted in the past day that any sale of TikTok's U.S. operations would have to include what he called a substantial payment to the U.S. But it isn't really clear under what authority he can extract such a payout. He did this analogy with a landlord and a tenant and basically was making the case that because he, in essence, brokered the deal, meaning that he forced this by saying he would ban TikTok in the U.S., that the Treasury should get a cut of the transaction. And President Trump said the money would come from China or an American buyer such as Microsoft. Again, really unclear. This is unprecedented. It's really unclear whether there's any way that this could, that money from this could go to the Treasury. And, of course, that further complicates the situation for Microsoft in this whole atmosphere.
You could characterize it any number of ways, I suppose. A commission, I guess, is the kindest way to call it.
Right, I guess.
Unprecedented. Right. How does this tie into the tensions between the U.S. and China on several fronts right now? And you also got to wonder the degree to which the statements from the White House, how much of that is just bluster appearing to talk tough on China ahead of the election?
That's right. I mean, we've seen this now, President Trump on Huawei, President Trump on all kinds of fronts with China. And of course, the problem is, the complicating factor is that then China comes back and says it will retaliate for any action that the U.S. does. So this is just raising the stakes in this increasingly divisive situation between the two, which some have said, is akin to a Cold War. This also puts other countries in an interesting position with this. The U.S. is wanting to restrict Huawei from 5G networks and really pressuring other companies to do so. So there's a question if they were to really kick out TikTok, if a deal between TikTok, the TikTok parent ByteDance and Microsoft, for instance, were not able to be done, would the U.S., if it was to bar TikTok, try to pressure other countries, other allies to do the same? So it's really looking at really a new tech front in this Cold War with China.
Explain for us real quick, just about 30 seconds, what's the issue with TikTok? It's personal data about Americans, right, and then sending it to China.
Yeah, so the Trump administration is making a national security argument here. And that's the argument that that Secretary of State Pompeo has been making, that having that data that Americans are willingly giving, turning over, right, to when they make these videos, in the hands of a Chinese company, there's the problem.
Okay. Thanks again, Jody. Appreciate it. Thanks for explaining that to our international editor, Jody Schneider, from our Hong Kong studios this morning. Thanks very much. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, check of futures. They are in the red, the Dow futures right now. 34 points lower. That's down about a tenth of a percent. The S&P E-mini futures right now down about 8 points. That's down a quarter of a percent. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures down 32 points. That's down 3/10 of a percent. Top stories straight ahead. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower after a record close for the NASDAQ. And as negotiations on a stimulus package continue, there are signs of progress, according to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
There are a lot of issues that are still outstanding, but I think there is a desire to get something done as soon as we can.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says both sides are moving a little bit closer to a deal.
In the meantime, President Trump is considering action of his own, saying he may impose a moratorium on evictions.
I don't want people to be evicted. And, you know, when they're evicted, when they're thrown out of their whatever the place may be, in many cases, they go to big shelters.
The White House is also exploring whether it can unilaterally extend $600 a week payments that expired last week.
While Washington works to support the economy, we're seeing positive signs in the coronavirus fight.
There's been a surge of cases in certain southern states, which thankfully are now starting to plateau off.
That assessment from Dr. Anthony Fauci comes as daily U.S. infections rose less than 1%, well below the one-week average. Hotspots like Arizona and California are starting to see cases slow.
And turning to corporate news now, TikTok front and center again today as Microsoft moves to buy the company's U.S. operations. President Trump says any sale should include a payment to the government.
The United States should get a very large percentage of that price because we're making it possible.
Well, such a move would be unprecedented. And now China is lashing out at the possible acquisition, saying it may take action against Washington if TikTok is forced to sell. An editorial in the state-run China Daily calls the move theft of a Chinese tech company.
Twitter is under fire from the Federal Trade Commission. The agency is investigating alleged privacy violations at the company, saying it used phone numbers to target people with advertising. Shares of Twitter are down 1.5% in early trading.
And on the earnings front, BP out with results that beat estimates. The company reported a loss that was less than expected. Still, BP is cutting its dividend for the first time in a decade. Shares are up 7% in London trading.
S&P futures again lower, down 7.5 points. Dow futures down 23. NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury a 4/32 yield 0.54%. The yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% or 46 cents at $40.55 a barrel. And the euro 1.18 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Once again, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. There are two major stories impacting the tri-state area, Hurricane Isaias and coronavirus news. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says the actions of a few knuckleheads leave us no choice. Murphy says the state is cutting the limit on indoor gatherings from a cap of 100 to just 25 people.
The only way we can get to where we want to be with indoor activities, be it dining or anything else, is if everyone plays by the rules and no one tries to make end runs around them.
Murphy says the rate of transmission has climbed from 0.87 a month ago to 1.48. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo slammed the federal government's COVID-19 response. Cuomo says it could not have been worse.
This was a colossal blunder, how COVID was handled by this federal government. Colossal blunder. Shame on all of you. 6 months, lives lost, Hit the reset button. Yes.
Cuomo also says 19 more New York bars and restaurants have had their liquor licenses suspended for COVID violations. Parents, teachers, and students marched in Manhattan yesterday protesting Mayor Bill de Blasio's plan to reopen schools in the city. Demonstrators say they don't feel safe returning in person. Hurricane Isaias is about to impact the tri-state area. Isaias, now a tropical storm, made landfall near Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina, late last night and is forecast to spin up the East Coast. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
If you're in a situation where this storm is affecting your community, your block, your building, look out for your neighbors, particularly seniors. Always be there for them.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont is telling residents to prepare.
I apologize to all the restaurants. I said, please move everything outside a couple of months ago. Now you probably want to be moving a lot of this furniture and the such inside.
With more, here's Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
Flash flood watch in effect until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Michael, we're also under a tropical storm warning. Rain and thunderstorms today across the tri-state area. The rain is going to be heavy, so we're going to pick up several inches of that. Also, we'll have gusty winds, especially around any thunderstorms that occur today. That's when the winds could gust over 40 miles an hour. If we're going to really see any damage, it would be during the thunderstorms. Now, the good news is, with a fast-moving system, the weather improves quite a bit by late this afternoon and early this evening. In fact, we'll have clearing skies overnight. Lots of sunshine for tomorrow. Michael?
Rob, thank you, sir. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, John. The Phillies, first game in more than a week. They had to await test results after they met the virus-ravaged Miami Marlins in the Bronx. Here's how it started.
He's flying to right, deep right. Harper at the track. Harper at the wall. She's gone. Oh, the DJ spinning a tune right off the bat tonight. LeMahieu. Adios, amigo. His second home run of the season. And welcome back to active duty Philadelphia Phillies. Right off the bat, it's 1-0 New York.
Ricky Ricardo, WFAN. Later, Brett Gardner homered. He's 2-for-19 on the season, but both hits are homers. Gio Urshela had the grand slam the other day. He had a three-run shot. The Yanks won their seventh in a row, 6-3. Garrett Cole is already 3-0. Tonight's game already rained out. Yanks and Phils tomorrow in Philly. We'll play a doubleheader. Both games will be seven innings. Mets ended their five-game slide. Salvaged one in Atlanta, 7-2. Jacob deGrom got rare run support, notched his first win. He struck out 10 in six innings. The Braves ace, Mike Soroka, suffered a season-ending torn Achilles injury. Mets are in Washington tonight. The Nationals just had a series with Miami postponed. The Marlins do return to the field tonight, but the Cardinals series with Detroit postponed after seven more St. Louis players tested positive. Rangers and Hurricanes play Game 3 of their qualifying series tonight in Toronto. It's been all Carolina so far. A 4-1 win yesterday for a 2-0 series lead. 20-year-old Andrei Svechnikov had the first playoff hat-trick in Carolina, or before that, Hartford Whalers history. Islanders play Game 2 with Florida noon today. The Isles won the opener. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
John, thanks a lot. EAD is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And with that, here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morgan Stanley says New York City's street retail rents have dropped to 2011 levels, and there's probably more trouble ahead. That's according to a report conducted by CBRE. The trend of high vacancies and declining asking rents has implications for Vornado Realty Trust, SL Green, and Empire State Realty Trust. Vornado says Facebook has leased 730,000 square feet, comprising all of the office space at the Farley Building in Vornado's Penn District. It's next to Penn Station, the biggest transportation hub in the country, and right across the street from Madison Square Garden. Connecticut's comptroller says the state will finish the fiscal year with a $128 million deficit and says the future of the state's economy will be dependent on federal action. Kevin Lembo says the federal aid package currently being negotiated by Congress and the White House will be critical. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Yeah, thanks a lot. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WTVN in Columbus, I'm reporting on a survey that says nearly a quarter of Ohioans question whether they can make their next rent or mortgage payment.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that the Federal Aviation Administration has given Boeing a long list of proposed fixes for the 737 MAX before it can return to the skies.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we are previewing quarterly results from Disney.
I'm Caroline Hepcon, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on rising coronavirus cases in England and concerns around reopening schools in September.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Oil and natural gas explorer Fieldwood Energy has filed for bankruptcy.
I'm Ed Curry on WWJ in Detroit. I'm talking about General Motors wanting a racketeering lawsuit against Fiat Chrysler to be revived.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And coming up today, we're going to get additional details on Walt Disney and its earnings. The company reports after the closing bell. Here with us some more on this is Bloomberg's Larry Kopsky.
Disney is expected to have slumped to a loss in its fiscal third quarter. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a loss of 60 cents a share for the company behind the Magic Kingdom, ABC, and ESPN. Only its Disney Plus streaming service is seen as a bright spot, with Bloomberg Intelligence estimating about 60 million subscribers at quarter's end. Disney's theme parks will be the most affected by the pandemic. Theater closings will mean lower income for Disney's film unit, while a lack of sports on ESPN is expected to result in a sharp drop in ad revenue. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are edging lower in Europe alongside U.S. stock index futures, while bonds are higher as investors wait for word on whether fresh fiscal stimulus will get approvals. And U.S. stock index futures, well, they stung from gains to modest declines. That was hours after the NASDAQ 100 set a fresh record high on Monday. This update is brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. See how you can transform your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/IMS. S&P futures are down about 8 points. Dow futures down 26. NASDAQ futures down 34. The DAX in Germany's down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 0.53%. The yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 58 cents at $40.43 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $7.60 at $19.93.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1798 against the dollar. British pound 1.3072 and the yen 105.94. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Hurricane Isaias has been downgraded to a tropical storm after making landfall near Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina. The mayor of the town says that the storm set off flooding and sparked 5 home fires. Isaias is forecast to spin along the U.S. East Coast today. President Trump is reacting to a New York district attorney reportedly investigating him for potential tax and insurance fraud. He claims this is the first he's heard of this fraud investigation. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. is said to be seeking access to the president's tax returns and other financial records. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won along with the A's. The Giants lost. In the NBA, the Wizards lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Stimulus negotiations continue in Washington. We have slight signs of progress, but no real resolution in sight just yet. With that in mind, let's get the view from the Dallas Fed President, Robert Kaplan. He sat down for a conversation with Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee to discuss those lapsed stimulus measures and the fight against COVID-19. Let's listen to some of that conversation right now.
The $600 extra unemployment bonus and eviction moratorium, they're gone now. First, has the Fed, has your staff modeled the impact of that on the economy? And second, should we expect a wave of defaults that might affect credit markets?
We have looked at it. And one of the things that's unusual about this downturn that we've just had is incomes have stayed relatively solid, and a big part of the reason is these unemployment benefits. And so we're normally in a downturn, you see a drop in incomes. We haven't seen that here. It's still my view that in some form we'll get an extension of unemployment benefits. So I'm quite hopeful that that will continue. But if it didn't, you would see a further weakening in the economy, and in particular because consumers wouldn't have as much money in their pocket to spend.
Any business people telling you that $600 bonus was keeping people from coming back to the labor force?
A lot of business people were telling me that, honestly. They were telling me that it was challenging to hire people. We've looked at a number of studies. We've done our own work. We don't see it as much in the data, but I can tell you I'm hearing it from business people. Whatever the right answer is, I think you still are going to need to see extension of unemployment. It may be restructured to some extent from the $600, but I think it's important that we see an extension of it. And I think the increased incomes, while it may have made it hard for certain individual businesses to hire, it's helped create jobs because it's helped bolster consumer spending. So the net effect still has probably been positive for the economy and for employment.
A number of your colleagues, well, at least a number of epidemiologists joined by your colleague, Neil Kashkari of Minneapolis, say that we need another nationwide lockdown for about 4 weeks to defeat the virus, and that should be job one over reopening the economy. What do you think of that?
I probably have a somewhat different view based on my conversations, again, with epidemiologists locally and through the country, in that the epidemiologists I've spoken with, which has been widespread conversations, believe we could manage this economy and the virus and have the economy open if all of us wore masks. That's first and foremost, and then we need a good testing and contact tracing regime. But in particular, if we all wore masks, they believe it would substantially mute the transmission of the virus. And in fact, many of them fear if you did more lockdowns, if you still don't have good following of the healthcare protocols, the lockdown to some extent would be wasted. And so I think their advice is be very careful about the reopening. Enforce a widespread practice of wearing masks, social distancing. Now, there might be isolated or localized areas in the United States where the virus is become unmanageable, and they're going to have to take far more extreme steps like lockdowns. But I think we're going to have to learn to live with this virus. We're going to have to learn to reengage in our daily activities, but still control the virus. But widespread mask wearing is essential to that. And I think it's probably the most important practice that maybe has been done unevenly. And we've lost an opportunity to recover and control the virus and grow faster.
That's Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan speaking exclusively to Bloomberg's Michael McKee. You can catch more of that conversation, plus the full interview online at Bloomberg.com. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It is time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A jurist in New Jersey says federal judges need more security and their home addresses should not be made public. A gunman went to the home of Judge Esther Salas last month. He killed her son and wounded her husband. 25-year IRS veteran James Lee has been promoted to run the tax agency's criminal investigation division. And the Fifth Circuit ruled that an ambulance service must return about $1.3 million in Medicare money, despite what a doctor said the ambulance provider did not prove that non-emergency patient transports were medically necessary.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal news. A federal appeals court has thrown out the death sentence of Zhohar Tsarnaev in the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. A three-judge panel ordered a new penalty phase on whether the 27-year-old should be executed for the attack. For more on the decision, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Robert Bloom, a professor at Boston College Law School.
The appellate court said the jurors weren't properly screened. How so? What problems did they find with the screening?
Well, one of the major problems was the use of social media, especially Twitter. And apparently one juror tweeted that he called Tsarnaev garbage. And the judge, who asked a lot of questions about media, didn't really get into the social media. So the appellate court wanted to make sure that the jury, which decided on sentencing, was fair. And they said that the judge should have done more. The judge did a good bit, but he should have done more to make sure that nobody was using social media or was reading newspapers. In addition, one of the jurors said he didn't stay at home during the time that he had a shelter in place, but he actually did. So there's some indication of a lack of fairness given the bias of those particular jurors.
Can a judge really find out if someone is lying in that respect? How can a judge monitor social media?
There's just so much out there these days. And what's supposed to occur as the jurors are seated, and the judge will get questions from both sides and will ask those questions. There's very little investigative piece. The lawyers don't know who the jurors are going to be. It's a big pool. The investigation comes from asking questions, and you hope the jurors are telling the truth. By the way, the judge didn't do a bad job. He had a long questionnaire in the voir dire just to screen out a bunch of jurors, and then many questions were asked. The voir dire took a while, but there were still some problems, according to the Court of Appeals.
And that's Boston College law professor Robert Bloom speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And futures are lower this morning. S&P futures are down 8 points, Dow futures down 28, NASDAQ futures down about 37 after the NASDAQ reached a record yesterday. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 0.53%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. And the 30-year yield is at 1.21%. NYMEX crude oil is moving lower, down 1.4% or 56 cents at $40.45 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.33%, up $6.70 at $19.93 an ounce. The euro, 1.1794 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3062. And the yen at 105.97. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.